Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1034, the topic is training, and the title is How Often Should I Work Out? So I had somebody ask me this recently, and I thought it would be a fun kind of thing just to dive into, talk a little bit about like program structure and even individual workout structure as a good kind of overview. So hopefully you'll find this helpful as well, and this will get your kind of wheels spinning, get you thinking a little bit about how to best create a program for you. Now, with what we're saying today, there's a really good podcast that would pair with today's podcast, and it's about training templates. You can create, essentially what a training template is it lists per workout individual categories for exercise selection and set count and time under tension that would be best for your goal. So it would tell you, like in a back workout, do an exercise that focuses on this for this many sets for this much time under tension. Then do a back exercise that focuses on this for this many sets for this much time under tension. And it kind of gives you a formatted structure that you know you're going to get everything in that you need, but it allows for openness of exercise selection. So that way you can kind of change it based on whether you're at your normal gym, whether you're out traveling, whether you have no gym at all and you have to do bodyweight stuff. You can just kind of manipulate what equipment you have available, how good you feel that day. Maybe one movement is kind of like bothering your shoulder that day, so you just want to substitute it out for something else, but you want to make sure you're substituting it in an intelligent way. And there's tons and tons and tons of benefit to having templates, which is another way of saying it is conceptual programs, meaning that you don't have specifics that you have to do. You more so have categories of things like concepts that you want to make sure you include, so that way all your bases are covered, but allows more freedom with exercise creation, exercise selection, whether you need that freedom based on kind of what's available or whether you want that freedom. So maybe you're a trainer who's kind of developing your own knowledge and you would like to be able to play around with different movements to learn different movements, but you don't want to lose your progress and getting lost kind of doing the wrong things or not doing the right combination of things. So it can give structure to freedom whether you want it or whether you need it. So that would be podcast number 423, titled Personalized Training Templates. Now, that's something we actually do and create for individual clients, is personalized templates. You would tell us what you're working on, what you have available, what your schedule's like, and we would say, okay, here's the template that would fit you best. We're going to make it and mold it for your lifestyle, and then just follow this, and it'll help you. It would help you know when to work out, what to work out, how long to work out, what to do in the workout, all that stuff. Now, what I'm developing now, among my 1,000 other things that I always like to try to do, I've dipped into doing monthly programming where I would write specific exercises and sets and reps and everything for clients. And we've had a lot of people take advantage of that, which was awesome how many people actually were interested. So that's great. And thank you to those who are following those programs. Another thing I'm looking at trying to develop more so is almost like a template creation process in which we would help you create templates yourself. We would start by giving you, say, 3 months worth of specific exercises so you know exactly what fits into each category and you have 3 months of examples. But then in month 4, 5, and 6, you're prompted to kind of experiment and play around with and kind of open up your choice selection with some guidance, of course. But the goal is within 6 months, you would learn how to write your own workouts. And I love that better because I want to empower people to take control of their own health. And if they wanted to hire a trainer or buy programming, it would be by choice, that they just want someone else to do the thinking for them. But I don't want people feeling like they're stuck. Like, okay, I did this program, I stopped getting results, now I don't know what to do. That sucks. I'd rather have you do a program, get some results, and know how to continually modify and adjust it so you can continue to get results. I'm more of a fan of education rather than just saying, here, blindly follow this program. That's not long-term beneficial. I got into doing physical exercise as a way to improve my mental and emotional health, meaning that making physical progress was important to me because of how it made me feel better about myself and how it helped me kind of like monitor and kind of manage and control my emotions. I want to be able to do that for people. Whereas if you just blindly follow a program and within 3 to 6 months, maybe it stops working. Maybe you have to change your goals. Maybe your lifestyle is a little bit different. You used to be able to work out 5 days a week. Now you can only fit in 3 days a week. Or maybe it switched the other way. You were only working out 3 days a week, but maybe now something opened up for you and now you can work out 5 days a week. Well, we don't want you being stuck into a program where you don't know how to like adjust and change with the always changing life that we have. I would love to teach things that kind of help educate rather than just blindly following stuff. So podcast number 423, we'll talk about personalized training templates and how you can create those. I'm going to continue to work on that nutrition ebook that I've mentioned and work on this templating structure for monthly programming. So hopefully I can start to offer those to people in greater numbers. So that way it's kind of a cheaper option of getting really good help. So rather than having to pay like $300 a month for like personalized one-on-one coaching, you can maybe get away with, you know, $20 to $50 a month. And that way you can have still great information, but have more freedom, leeway, more education, but at a cheaper cost. So that's my goals. Let's see how that goes. Now, what we're going to talk about today's podcast is to answer the question of how often should I work out? I get asked this question in a variety of ways, but a couple of the perspectives has been either the person is, I'm overwhelmed with life and I have a million and one things to do. What's the minimum amount I need to do so that way I can still make progress but manage the rest of my life? Then there's the other side of that is a person says, I want to work out as often as I can, but I don't know if I'm doing too much. How do I know if I'm doing too much? So we want to go through that and actually answer that today. I'm going to go through and kind of talk about the goals of one goal being if your goal is fat loss or body recomposition, meaning you want to stay the weight you're at. You just want to lose fat and slightly start to kind of shape muscle, but you're not looking to be a bodybuilder. You're not looking to add massive amounts of muscle tissue. You more so just want to take off the body fat and look okay, like have decent muscle shape. Then there's the bodybuilding goal, and then we have a strength athlete goal. So we're going to talk through those three. I'm going to give you some information and stuff. But in general, this is a statement I'm going to make that I want you to remember. In general, when you train very heavy and your sole purpose is just to beat the crap out of muscles, if you're doing kind of, kind of walked myself into a corner there that I don't want to commit to. So one of the biggest challenges to giving advice in a global scale or big scale where you don't know exactly who you're talking about is your strength, how strong you are, actually influences how often you can train. Weaker people can train more often. Stronger people have to be careful and not train too often because there's kind of joint stress, joint damage that can happen with very heavy lifting, even if you're doing it correctly. So how strong you are actually does influence the frequency in which you can train. So for example, if I have somebody who's brand new to lifting, they can train every single day. Whereas if somebody, like say they have bodybuilding goal, they can train every day. If you have somebody who's super strong, it might actually be better for them to train every other day or just 2 days on, take a day off, 2 days on kind of thing. So how your strength affects how you should train is a significant concept that a lot of people don't get correct or they don't even realize is a thing. So they'll try to follow so-and-so's program, and so-and-so's either on a bunch of supplemental help, quote-unquote, or their just strength levels are different than yours. So you might have, like, I remember looking at, like, Eric Lillibridge and Ernie Lillibridge. They were, and their dad, I believe who's Ernie Lillibridge as well, so the younger Ernie's a junior. But they were super big, super strong people, and they're still kicking ass and being amazing, but it was kind of more so super popular kind of like in the like early 2010 to 2015-ish. And they probably were popular before then, probably popular after, and they still are. But they was kind of big in like the YouTube videos and world that I was looking to and listening at that time. And I remember them saying that they train 3 days a week. And this is a person who, in a random squatting workout, would squat 1,000 pounds. So he just, like, he could squat 1,000 pounds every week, deadlift over 800, 900 every single week. So he would squat every other week really heavy. He would deadlift every other week really heavy. And that would actually not be like max efforts. They would be like progressive, like linear progression over time. So maybe weeks one, they do, I'm just making up some stuff here just to give a point of it, but they might do max effort set of like 5. And then week 3, they do a max effort set of 3. Then week 5, they might test a single. And then it's not even like a true max, just kind of testing to see what they can do. Then weeks maybe 7, they come back to the 5, try to improve a little bit again. Then week 9, all of a sudden they go back to the 3. Then week 11, maybe they do a test single again. Then week 13, they try to peak out their single. Now, with that stretched out of a program, that would be necessary if somebody's squatting 1,000 pounds and their body needs time to recover from 1,000 pounds. If I'm only squatting 315, I probably do not need the same recovery time as a person squatting 1,000. Even if my 315 feels as hard to me as 1,000 does to them, I still need less time to recover. So perception doesn't always like make up for weight, you know. So we might have had the same intensity in how hard we tried, but they're going to need a hell of a lot more recovery than I would need. So with that in mind, it is challenging for me to say, like in a blanket statement, that everyone listening should follow X number of days in between. So what I want to do is we're actually going to give you a way to kind of get around that and how you can kind of play with it on your own. Now, just real quick, if you want to write down another resource of education, and this is very, 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 very good knowledge to have, is podcast number 383 is titled How Your Strength Affects How You Should Train. That's a very important thing to know, especially as your personal trainer. When you have clients who have different strength levels, they sure as hell should not train at the same frequency or the same kind of exercise selection. Meaning the weaker somebody is, they should train more often and they should pick more compound movements. The stronger somebody is, they're probably going to need to train less often and mix in more isolative movements. So there's a lot that goes into creating a program for somebody based on simply just the one factor of how strong they are, let alone life factors, goals, past injuries, you know, preferences, nutritional status, sleep quality, all these other things. Now, all of those things need to be accounted for when you write programming, and very rarely does anybody do that. So it's kind of sad. Okay, so podcast 383, titled How Your Strength Affects How You Should Train. If you have never heard of that concept, or if you don't know how programming would change based on that factor, I would absolutely suggest you listen to that. So that way it'll help not only the information I present to you today in today's podcast, it'll help you understand programming overall. Okay, so let's get into this. I know I've rambled quite a bit, but I hope that the rambling was at least, you know, beneficial to hear what was discussed so far. Okay, so if we look at the first goal here is fat loss slash body recomposition, where you're just trying to lose some fat, trying to shape some muscle, but you're not really trying to be as strong as you can be. You're not trying to build a ton of muscle. You're just trying to not be so fat and just look better in clothes kind of thing. So how often should you train? As often as your schedule allows. If you can train 7 days a week, train 7 days a week. If you can train only 5 days a week, then train 5 days a week. If you can only train 3 days a week, train 3 days a week. Whatever is the highest frequency that you're able to fit into your schedule, that's how often you should train. A common weekly routine that I like to use in these cases is full body workouts where you alternate the upper and lower body emphasis, meaning that one workout, it's going to be full body, but really kind of more aggressive towards the upper body. But still some lower body things like body weight movements and things like that. Then the next time, you're going to do really aggressive to the lower body, but you're still going to include upper body stuff, but it's going to be low intensity, kind of easier type things. So the upper body, lower body, the part that you're not extremely emphasized in that day, you still want to move it around and get some blood flow into it. So an example is like a workout structure like this, is you would want to do, before you start lifting weights, doing anything, you want to do movement preparation. Movement prep just kind of prepares your body for movement. It makes sure that muscular tightnesses leading into joints are all balanced out for the day. And you can kind of correct common faulty positions, which is kind of forward and downwardly angled and rotated shoulders. People tend to have poor posture, so you want to address that. People also tend to be really tight in their hip flexors and tight in their hamstrings, so you want to address that. So you want to do some type of movement preparation, which would be like foam rolling, stretching, like there's other forms of stretching and stuff. And then you want to do an active type routine where you're mixing in movements for shoulders, core, and hips. So maybe at first you just do some foam rolling on your adductors. Maybe you do a stretch for your glute muscles to make sure your glutes are opened up and they're ready to move, so that way you can squat without pulling on your lower back, tugging on your lower back. So, you do some foam rolling on the adductors, maybe you do some glute stretches. Awesome. Now, we want to get into an active movement prep. So, maybe I'll do a scapular retraction plank, push-ups. So, if you don't know what those are, Google those. They're fantastic for helping thoracic mobility. So, scapular retraction push-ups. Then, maybe you go into an activated plank or a plank variation. And then for hips, maybe you go into like a Spider-Man lunge, or you kind of go into like there's 90-90 hip rotations. There's a bunch of other stuff. There you could do glute bridges, single leg glute bridges. You could do starfish side planks. You could do clam raises. There's a million things you can do to kind of help address each of these areas. But you want to do something that feels like it warms up and prepares your shoulders and upper back. You want to do something that feels like it activates and kind of turns on your core muscles, so you can feel your abs flexing and your core being tight. Then you want to do something that opens up movement in your hips and allows you to not feel bound down and so tight in your hip musculature. So that's all movement prep. You want to do that. When you do it correctly and you figure out how to do it the right way, that can take maybe 10, 15 minutes. It really doesn't even take that long to do correctly. So it's an important thing to include because it's going to help you just move better. Now, we have podcast number 407 titled Importance and Benefits of Warm-Ups, and it'll kind of talk you through how to create like warm-ups like that for yourself. So if you want to check that out, that's something that will be a good resource as well. So after you do your movement prep, you would go into your strength-based work. And this is typically exercises that are going to be done for 10 to 20 seconds of time under tension, meaning that you're going to try something as hard as you possibly can. Okay, so it's going to be full effort, and you reach muscular failure or just physically can't move the thing anymore between 10 to 20 seconds. That's going to help you increase strength, specifically strength. Okay, now it's important that you get stronger and you work on strength, even if your goal is only just fat loss. Because as you get stronger over time, that saves wear and tear on your joints and stress on your body. It also, the stronger you are, the less tight you get in between workouts, because the body doesn't have to create tightness to protect itself from positions that it feels weak in. And then strength over time can allow you to lift more weights under higher repetition time under tension, which allows you to accumulate more muscle damage, which raises basal metabolic rate, which allows you to burn more calories at rest. So there's a bunch of stuff. And then, for example, increased strength allows you to lift heavier things. Your body has to adjust to the heavier things, and it builds extra muscle in weaker areas. Extra muscle raises your basal metabolic rate and helps you burn more calories at rest. So strength has a ridiculous amount of benefits. Absolutely ridiculous. You absolutely need to be focusing on that, okay? So, if your focus was an upper body emphasized workout, you would do a pull exercise and a push exercise, which is basically like a back row or a pull-up, pull-down motion. And then you're going to do a push, which is like a chest push or an overhead push. So, for each of those, a pull and a push, you want to do 10 to 20 seconds of time under tension. Typically, you're going to do 2 to 3 kind of practice sets, and then around 3 really challenging good sets. Now, if your focus is lower body, you're going to focus on leg extension and hip extension movements. A leg extension movement is something that extending your leg, so the stress is mostly at your knees. And that you can think of like a squat or a step up, typically something like that, like a lunge. And then a hip extension is something where you're bending more so at your hips. And that's going to be more, usually more of like a conventional stance deadlift, an RDL, Romanian deadlift, a stiff leg deadlift, hip thrust. So more like hip focused movements. So hip hinge focused rather than leg extension, which is a knee focus. But you're going to do something that challenges you 10 to 20 seconds on leg extension and 10 to 20 seconds on hip extension. Now, after the strength work, you're going to do kind of muscle cardio. Since your goal is to burn fat, you want to beat the muscles up, but you want to move around a lot and burn a lot of calories. So you're going to focus on creating circuits of movement. Now, if my upper body was the main focus of the day, and that's what I did for my strength stuff, I would actually do my lower body for my muscle cardio. So I would do some type of leg extension, some type of hip extension, and then some random movement, which is something athletic, like a burpee, jumping exercises, kind of jump lunges, walk lunges, things like that. So you just want to create a circuit of lower body movements. It's not super heavy, but for each movement, you're looking somewhere between 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension that you'll reach failure. And you want to pair together 2 to 3 movements. I recommend 3. So that way you can get a total of around, say, 1 to 2 minutes of full activity. And each circuit means every single circuit takes about 1 to 2 minutes to complete. That's a lot of calories burned. And then you're going to take the exact same time as rest up to about time and a half. So if it takes you 1 minute to complete, take 1 minute rest up to about 1.5 minutes, 90 seconds. Now, if you're lower body was the main focus of the workout, you'd have done lower body strength stuff. So you would have done a leg extension movement and a hip extension movement for 10 to 20 seconds of time or tension for each of those movements. So since that was your main focus for strength work, your muscle cardio work is actually going to be upper body stuff now. And you're going to do something that's like a pull, something that works your back, something that works your push muscles, and then again something random that feels kind of more athletic or it moves through multiple planes of motion. An inchworm is a really awesome example if you want to Google that. So inchworm exercise. You can do like dumbbell cleaning presses or a one-arm cleaning press. You can do renegade rows, which is a combination of a push and a pull together. So there's a lot of variations, but in general what you're looking for when you're training for full body is you want to be as active every single day as you possibly can. Then every day you're active, try to train the whole body. But you're going to alternate training the heaviest parts like of the workout, being upper body and lower body alternated day by day. And then the more just body weight movement, lighter weight movement stuff to burn through calories and get you out of breath is going to be the opposing group. So if you did really heavy stuff for upper body, you're going to do muscle cardio stuff, the circuity stuff for lower body, and vice versa. So hopefully that was helpful. Lots of little information in there. If that is a good place to start, but you have more questions, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll expand that into its own podcast. But now we're going to move on to the goal of bodybuilding. If your goal is bodybuilding, meaning you want to build as much muscle as possible, how often should you work out? As often as your schedule allows. So you can train. I've trained bodybuilders where they worked out literally like 21 days in a row. You just have to monitor and manage intensity very correctly and volume very correctly. But it is possible to work out literally every single day. A lot of bodybuilders I work with, when we go for like pro cars and stuff, I've used the range anywhere from 4 days a week to 7 days a week. And they've been able to get pro cars and been very happy. Like, looked amazing. But what you're really aiming for is to train each body part twice a week. So however your schedule allows, you're trying to break down your workouts per workout to allow you to cover every body part twice a week. So if I only train, say 4 times a week, then I'm going to probably do upper body, lower body, and then repeat. So maybe I'll do my upper body on day 1, lower body on day 2, upper body on day 3, lower body on day 4. Okay, so if you have 4 days a week, you would do upper, lower on repeat. If you can do 5 days a week, then you're going to look for a combination of a split that kind of is commonly referred to as push-pull legs, but we're going to do it in a different order, meaning you're going to break your upper body into push muscles and pull muscles, and then lower body is still lower body. So if you can work out 5 days a week, a good routine is to do legs on day 1, pull muscles on day 2, which is your back, biceps, rear delts. Then push muscles on day 3, which is your chest, front shoulders, and triceps. And then lower body again on day 4, and then the whole upper body on day 5. Now, where do mid-delts go in there? You can put them wherever you want. I like to put them on both pull and push days as my warm-up. And I usually pair that with some kind of ab exercise. So I usually do mid-delt exercise and ab exercise as part of like my initial like start to the workout. So that way I'm getting those trained more often. It'll actually equal about 3 times per week for those muscles. And that allows them to catch up or get stronger because they're typically kind of like muscles that you want to emphasize, but people don't typically throw them in enough to get them frequently. So that's kind of our options for 4 days a week, upper, lower, repeat. 5 days a week, legs, pull, push, lower body, upper body. 6 days a week, push, pull, legs, repeat. Cool. Now, in all these workouts, per workout, we're going to follow the same kind of concept of doing movement preparation. We want to make sure that we do some kind of static stretching. Then we do some types of active movements for our shoulders, core, and hips. Then you go into your strength movement. Again, this is still 10 to 20 seconds of time under tension. And you want to alternate between like available focal points. And what this means is every time I do legs, if I'm thinking about knee extension versus hip extension, I don't want to always make my knee extension my first movement, my main movement. I want to alternate. So one workout, knee extension is going to be the main focus. The next workout for lower body, hip extension is going to be the main focus. And then I alternate from those. Meaning that since you're training lower body twice a week, each focal point gets main focus at least once a week. So the opposite, the same concept for upper body and lower body, upper body, like pull, push and pull, is going to be, if I'm looking at like pulling movements, my one focus for one workout might end up being kind of a horizontal, like kind of, perpendicular to my body. So that would be typically rows for pulling workouts and like chest presses for pushing workouts. I can alternate that with going parallel with my body, which is like pull-ups and pull-downs for pull workouts, and then overhead press for push workouts. So I don't want to always put rows first. I want to alternate those with pull-ups and pull-downs. I don't want to always put chest press first. I want to alternate that with overhead press. This allows me to have more full development of my body and to make sure that I'm getting all things strong over time, so I won't have any weak links in the short term. Okay? Now, for your secondary movements, you typically want to do 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension, and there's really a big variety of the number of movements that you would do. But typically, if you're looking at lower body, you're going to pick a knee extension or hip extension as like your strength movement. Then you want to still cover those again, like that again, in your secondary movements. So an example, if we look at like a pull workout, is you would typically want to do like movement preparation. I would then use maybe face pulls and straight arm pull downs as like a way to kind of get my scapular mobility warmed up, get my shoulders warmed up. I then could move into like a compound style row, which could be my heaviest, most aggressive type of row that I'm going to do that day. And that could be cable seated rows, that can be barbell rows. Typically, I'm going to do something both arms together, because right after the compound row, I'll actually do a unilateral row. And that could be a one-arm row, whether that's dumbbells, cables, like some weird machine that you have available to you. And then you're going to do that, push pull-ups and pull-downs. So if you're great at pull-ups, do pull-ups. If you suck at those, do pull-downs. So an example pull workout would be movement preparation. Then I'm going to go into a superset of face pulls and straight-arm pull-downs. Maybe I'll do a set of 20 on each, a set of 16 on each, a set of 12 on each. Kind of progressively get a little heavier. I'm going to do a compound row, which could be a cable seated row, barbell row, something like that. And I'm going to aim for 3 sets of 10 to 20 seconds of time under tension. Then I'm going to go to unilateral row, which is a one-arm row. Maybe I'm doing a one-arm dumbbell row variation. And I'm going to do 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension per set. Maybe again, I'll do 3 sets per arm. Then I'll go to maybe a pull-down, lat pull-down, wide overhand grip. And maybe I'll do 3 sets of 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension. Now, that's typically going to be plenty enough of pull movements, knowing that you're going to train your pull muscles again that week. So if you look at that, we had face pulls and straight arm pull downs, which were smaller isolated movements, 3 sets each. That's 6 sets total. You had your heavy compound row for 3 working sets. That's 9 sets in total. Unilateral row, which is 3 sets per arm, but you would count those only as 3 sets to make sure it's complete. Sets 12 working sets. Pull-ups and pull-downs, 3 sets. If you're just doing a pull-down or just a pull-up, you're only going to do 3 of each, like 3 of whichever you choose. So in our example, we did wide overhand grip lat pull-downs. We're going to do 3 sets. So that's going to give us 15 working sets in total for a workout. That's plenty. Typically, anywhere between 12 to 18 working sets is going to be plenty, 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 considering you're going to be training that muscle group again later in the week. So that's an example of like a good back workout. Now, again, there's a lot of individual differences. So for example, if I'm working with a female aesthetic athlete and they don't their arms are a decent size, we actually commonly don't even do much like arm isolative movements like bicep curls and like tricep press downs, because every time they do a back exercise, they're working their bicep. Every time they do a chest press or an overhead press, they're working their tricep. So we typically want them to be a nice V taper and very shoulder dominant arms. So we don't really want to build the biceps and triceps too big, because then the shoulder cap has to be even bigger to make it look like a feminine arm. So we often don't do a lot of isolative work. Now, for males, if you do want to build your biceps and triceps, you're still going to add those in. So maybe you'll take 3 working sets away from the back and add in like 6 more sets of bicep work. So maybe you're up at that 18 kind of total, where 12 was for your back, 6 working sets were for your biceps. You have to play with that and kind of find the best balance for yourself. But in typical fashion, 12 to 18 working sets, true actual working sets, not warm-ups, just working sets, that's going to be plenty enough volume for a singular workout. So if you think about that, for each movement, I might have 2 or 3 warm-ups as well. So for the face pulls and straight arm pull-downs, I might do 1 or 2 sets that I'm not even counting, because they have to be light to kind of warm me up. For the compound row, I might end up doing 2, 3, maybe even 4 sets before I get to my 3 working sets. My unilateral row, I might do 1 or 2 warm-up sets before I get to my working sets. So when we say 12 to 18 sets, that isn't total. It's not 12 to 18 total sets. It's 12 to 18 working sets, which means you're probably going to be somewhere around like 18 to 24 total overall sets if you count warm-ups. So it's very important to recognize the difference between working sets and warm-up sets. You want to make sure your working sets are between 12 to 18. Okay? So bodybuilders, work out as often as you can. If it's 4 days a week, do upper body, lower body, repeat. If it's 5 days a week, do legs, pull, push, lower, upper. If it's 6 days a week, do push, pull, legs, and repeat. For every workout, do some type of movement preparation. Make sure your body's opened up. There's no tight muscles anywhere. Do a strength movement, 10 to 20 seconds. Do your secondary movements, 20 to 40 seconds. And aim in total for 12 to 18 total working sets within the exercise, like within the workout. And then divide your body parts up amongst those working sets, however you feel best fits your needs. Okay. Now, again, if anybody has any specific questions about this one, you want more in-depth information, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll make an individual podcast that'll explain this in further detail. Now, for the last thing, last but not least, and I know we're really long today, is strength athletes. Typically, I would not recommend that you train as often as possible. Meaning, I don't typically recommend that strength athletes train 7 days a week. And very rarely, in rare cases, do I recommend that they train 6 days a week. Unless 1 to 2 of those are just pure bodyweight-based stuff, just for kind of blood flow and movement restoration, movement preparation, that kind of stuff, movement recovery. Typically, what we're going to look for is anywhere from 2 to 4 very heavy, hard workouts a week. 2 is minimal. I would definitely like people to have more than that. So I'm typically going to have powerlifters and strength athletes, strongman athletes, train 4 days a week. It's typically a good blend to where it's going to allow for total recovery days that you can focus on sleep and food and really let your joints recover. We're wanting to allow our muscles to recover, but more importantly, we need to allow our connective tissues and our joints to recover. So for strength athletes, typically about 4 workouts a week is a pretty sweet spot. Within that, we typically do some type of bench press focused workout, a squat focused workout, an overhead press focused workout, and a deadlift focused workout. Now, if you're a strongman athlete, you're probably going to want to start the week fresh with overhead presses rather than bench press. So you can flip-flop those. There's not necessarily a specific order. But if you're a strongman athlete, you're going to focus way more on overhead presses and deadlifts, and then squats, and then bench press maybe. It's still very good to work on bench press as a strength athlete, strongman athlete, because it helps you build your front shoulder and your triceps for overhead pressing, and it helps ensure that you have more kind of overall balance of musculature in the shoulder joint. If your chest is weak at all, then that's going to overload the other muscles and when you're trying to find stability in bracing. So there's no need for you to just avoid bench press because it's not in a competition. Just like for powerlifters, it's good to train your overhead press even though that's not in a competition. You can find value in being strong in all planes of motion. Okay? So that's typically going to be our focus is upper body, lower body, where we kind of do bench, squat, overhead, deadlift. You can flip those days around. I typically like to have deadlift before like the most frequent days of rest. So for example, if I train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to then have Saturday and Sunday to recover. I like to have deadlift right before the most days of recovery because deadlift is most taxing on your lower back, and the lower back takes the longest to recover out of all body parts that we train. So lower back takes the longest to recover. You need to give it the longest rest. So that's typically why I do deadlift at the end of the week. The other reason is when you're in powerlifting, you never deadlift fresh anyhow. You had to squat already that day. So if you're doing deadlifts in a totally fresh state, you're setting up false expectations. People can argue and say, well, it allows me to train greater volume of workload, so that way my deadlift can progress faster. So even if in a meet I don't get to deadlift fresh, at least it makes sense to train fresh. Well, then what are you training not fresh? You can do heavy squats and heavy deadlifts early in the week, and then do your squat and deadlift accessories later in the week, sure. But that too often leads to extreme overtraining in that first session of the week. And then people do what usually way too much volume in that second session of the week, and they end up overtraining. So I've used that in the past for clients because I can control the fact that they're not going to overtrain. But I typically wouldn't recommend that to people if they're doing their own programming, because you're going to go way too heavy on squat and deadlift, and then you're going to try to do every exercise under the sun, the second lower body workout, and you're just going to be destroyed within a couple weeks because you're overtraining. So that's why I typically like to split the squat and the deadlift work. So that's going to be your main focus for each workout, is kind of like a bench press focused workout, a squat focused workout, an overhead press focused workout, a deadlift focused workout. I will typically want to follow up those big movements with anything that I think directly relates to me getting stronger at those movements. So for example, for the bench press, it's probably a good idea to focus some kind of chest movement. After that, maybe it's dumbbell chest flies, maybe it's floor flies, maybe it's a cable machine crossovers, maybe it's, you know, whatever the hell else you can think of that works your chest. And then you're typically going to work triceps, so some heavy tricep press downs, skull crushers, weighted dips, things like that. In those, you're probably going to train some front delt, but you might as well do some front raises as well, because that's going to help. And then from there, you're trying to train your upper back and core. So those are going to be kind of your main focuses, like for a bench press workout. Upper back is really important for bench press because it makes you thicker on the bench. So that way the bar doesn't have to come down as low. Like just the thicker you are in your torso, the shorter the eccentric stretch you have on a bench press. So that's also why people arch like a psychopath, so they can shorten the eccentric stretch. Another way to help that, especially if you're not great at arching, is just get a thick ass upper back, and that'll help a ton. So squatting. We'll typically do the squat movement, and then we look for some type of knee extension to accessorize that. So maybe I'll do my really heavy squats, and then maybe I'll work on kind of like forward lunges, reverse lunges. Maybe I'll do front squats after my back squat. Just something that focuses more on knee extension without so much stress everywhere else. So you're trying to more so isolate the knee extension. You're still going to throw in some type of hip extension, so maybe like RDL, stiff leg deadlifts, but you're not going to be doing those for max efforts. You're going to do them as just a supplemental movement towards your squat. And then it kind of depends from there whether you have individual weaknesses in certain areas. Overhead press, kind of the same concept as bench press. You do your overhead press, then you focus on things that build the overhead press. Deadlift, same thing as we talked about with squats, is you're going to do your deadlift, then you're going to focus on knee extensions and hip extensions, but you're going to focus mostly on movements to help build your deadlift. So the idea is to think, what is holding my big lift back? What is my weak point in my big lift? And then I need to isolate that weakness so I can get it stronger. You want to isolate it so bigger, stronger muscles don't hide that weakness. That's why isolations are helpful for strength athletes. Now, we're not talking about pure isolations like doing a lateral raise to build your shoulder, but you can do close grip incline bench press, and that'll build the front of your shoulder while also building your triceps and your upper chest. So you can do compound isolative movements, which sounds weird, where you're trying to isolate out of a single concept, but you have to make sure that other muscles can't hide that weak point. Okay, so same thing with strength. If you want a deeper dive into this, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll take a deeper dive. But I hope that today's podcast, even though it was long, thank you for listening. This is over 40 minutes, oh my gosh. But I hope it was helpful to understand the answer to how often should I work out. The answer is as often your schedule allows. The only exception would be for strength athletes. I really think 4 to 5 days is plenty enough. I would give your body that rest on the 6th and 7th day. Maybe do some movement stretching, maybe do some yoga stuff, some things to help you feel restored, but not something that beats you down even more. Okay, hopefully this was helpful. Lots of information. If you have any questions at all, or emails brutalirongym@gmail.com. I sincerely appreciate you listening to this podcast and want to make sure that you get your questions answered. So whatever your questions are, send them to us and we'll make you a podcast. If you like today's podcast, please share it. The more we share the podcast, the more people we can help, the more impact into the world we can make with good, solid information. So please, please, please share the podcast. Thank you to those who do. You can also support the podcast by being a patron of the podcast through the Podbean app. We have people who financially support the podcast, which is absolutely important, and we would not be able to do this every day. I literally just can't afford to do it every day if I wasn't making some kind of money out of it, because it's too much of a time commitment. But the people who are the patrons of the podcast, I sincerely appreciate you very, very much, because you're allowing us to do this every day to allow us to help even more people. So every single person who's listening to this today, they're getting to do so because of you. So thank you, thank you, thank you to the patrons of the podcast. It's extremely important. Thank you. Okay. Well, if you like the podcast, click like. If you want more information from us, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you want to know, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.